Mooney.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined this morning by Gerard Mooney from a group called Alerting Parents. And the idea behind this group is to, as the name says, alert parents in relation to COVID-19 outbreaks in schools in Ireland. Good morning, Gerard, and how are you?
Good morning, Donny. Not too bad. It could be better if it wasn't so cold.
It is an absolutely freezing morning. No morning to be in school. And I think, Gerard, by the fact that this group of parents had to be formed in the first place would lead me to believe that you think that school and the way that the COVID-19 outbreaks in schools is being reported needs to be highlighted.
100%, 100%. As a group, we get stories from all around the country, so it's not isolated to one area. It's broad, and it's just not up to scratch. They'd like to say it is, but we know for a fact it's not.
And I presume, Gerard, without stating the obvious, that that's why the group was formed in the first place.
The group originally was formed just to alert parents. The actual administrator, the head administrator who started the page, Martina Bro, she never would have expected that it would have got to where it was and that the outbreak would have been so large. When she first formed the group and she approached me to join the group, there was cases coming in, dribs and drabs and small cases. And then by the end of September, the team was inundated with emails, messages, everything. It never stopped. And then when we saw the rising case numbers, that's when we really realised that the page was definitely a necessity for parents, because they weren't going to be informed by the schools. They weren't going to be informed by the HSE. They weren't going to be informed by NESA. And we understand as well that some people believe that the information that's released by the schools is adequate to the people that are involved. But when you see by the outbreaks like you see down in Glanmire, other outbreaks that we've seen recently and highlighted, that these cases aren't just isolated cases that just go to the one case in a class in a school. These cases spread. And when one case is in a school, it nearly always involves a private household. As NEFA always say, a lot of private household cases and the blame goes down to the people and their actions, but not actually coming to the full view of our opinion that these cases, they have a much larger consequence in the community.
Gerard, last week I spoke to the Deputy General Secretary of the ASTI, Diarmaid de Poyer.
Yep.
And he was as open and honest and as frank as he could be with me within the constraints in which we were speaking.
Yeah.
Now, I am given to understand, and I have to declare an interest here before we continue, insofar as my daughter-in-law is a secondary school teacher, so from that point of view, I suppose I have to declare the interest. But it would seem to me that there is an issue with the schools surrounding data protection when it comes to this. Are you aware of that?
We are. We're fully aware. We also have a couple of people that have come on board, and they've also given us advice in relation to the GDPR data control and how these measures are very carefully thought about when we release our information. They can say that it's due to GDPR, and we understand that the reasons is because nobody wants to be identified as a case. To me, I totally understand that. I personally have had a case in my child's class. We, the parents in the class, we never found out who it was. That information was given directly to us by the school. We never found out who it was. We never wanted to know who it was. But what we wanted to know was that our children safe. Now, in the circumstances of my son's case in his class, I could honestly say, hands up, it was dealt with in a brilliant manner. But then we've seen across the board that it's not always dealt with in this great manner. And that's when the problems start to arise, where there's not such openness and transparency as we've seen in our school, but in other schools where they will only call a couple of contacts, and then within a week's time you get another email to say that there's more contacts being called, and then there's more cases. So we understand nobody wants to be drawn out and called for being the person that brought COVID into the school. But what they don't seem to realise is COVID-19 has spread from one side of the world to the other. It's not a thing of somebody getting the blame. It's the stigma that's now being attached to COVID-19. And people believe that if you give out this information, you're going to be identifying people and that they will feel embarrassed or that they should be shameful for catching COVID-19. This isn't the case. The case is the fact that nobody wants to know the names. They just want the openness, the transparency, to be able to make the decisions, informed decisions themselves, that they are sending their kids into a safe place. Nobody's looking for names or to breach the data protection. And I really don't believe that by giving the information to everybody within the school community when a case arises in the school, that will cause any problem with data protection.
Now, Gerard, and my guest this morning is Gerard Mooney from the Alerting Parents Group. And we will talk more about that in a moment and how people can join, etc. Now, by virtue of its name, Gerard, yep. It alerting parents. But some people, a lot of people may forget that school teachers, school principals, people who work in all aspects of school, a lot of them are parents as well. So are some of them part of your group?
Oh, massively. Massively. A lot of the information that will be given to us where we find that people have not been informed. We've actually been told by many people, we call them parents, but they're teachers as well, like you said, and they haven't been informed by their actual school that there was a case within the school. Now, I could go further into it, and I don't think it's right to do it either, because we trust the people that give us the information and we verify the information from these people that we know are teachers. And even in some of the outbreaks, not just single cases, we've been told on many occasions that there'd be a kind of a hush-hush method within the school to try to keep people unaware that it's there. And that's coming straight from people within the school.
And it is very important, I think, that at this stage that we should point out that this is not a conspiracy group theory, group, etc. This is a group made up of parents who are concerned about their children's welfare and who verify everything before they put it up on their website.
100%. And if we even find, we've often been sent information, we've posted it, if we find that there's any type of inclination that post shouldn't be up, we'll remove it, and then we'll seek further advice, further information. And then when we have the more information, then we're able to publish it. The problem that we're coming across most lately is that we can't actually say a number anymore. So where we used to be told how many cases there was in a school, when it increased from one or two, when it increased up them numbers, now all the schools say is a small outbreak or a number of cases. Now we know for a fact as well that the schools have their hands tied. They're being told that they can't give out the number of cases. The reason why we'd be more concerned about this is the fact that if it was anything else other than the school, you would know how many cases there were. And when the cases start to climb like that, that's really, really, really when parents need to make these decisions. And they need to know what's happening in the school. And the staff, they need to know as well. You have SNAs that are moving from one class to another. You have teachers that will be helping other kids in other classes. And they'll be moving between classes. And sometimes when you only have a part of a class that's called as close contact, you have a teacher that will be taking somebody from within that class into another part of the school. And that's when we see that we're starting to see numbers that were originally in one class and then they're in another class. This is a direct sign that there's transmission. Not always, as we know that there was rising numbers in the community, so therefore there's a good chance somebody from a private household and another person from a private household will be in the same school that would be positive for COVID-19. But the staff need to be aware.
Can I ask you a question? And it's one I asked Dermot Dupuyer last week. And I have asked this question. I'm blue in the face from asking it, and I still cannot get a satisfactory answer from any sector.
Yeah.
How is it that the definition of a close contact was redefined for the purposes of schools? And this is where my issue is with this. Your child can be 6 hours, I presume, is about the average, I think, that children spend in school. Sometimes maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But we'll give it 6 hours for the purposes of our chat this morning. They can be 6 hours in school sitting beside a child who subsequently tests positive for COVID-19. And yet that child is not deemed a close contact. But you are not allowed to have that child in your backyard and playing with your child. That's not allowed because they could be deemed to be close contact in those circumstances. Have you or has anybody come up with a satisfactory answer as to how this could make any logic.
It, in the safety measures, it makes zero logic, no sense, and it's totally unsafe. And it's not just unsafe for people within the school, it's unsafe in the community of the school when you see these cases starting to rise, starting to spread. The only logic I can find behind it is for every person that will be deemed a close contact, you're therefore taking somebody from work because somebody needs to stay home with that child for being a close contact. And then you have a family that may be called in and asked to restrict their movements, therefore taking more people from another school. And to me, it's like trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together because it doesn't match. It doesn't match up. They want to contain the virus, but yet they want to have these type of measures. And the close contact, changing that whole thing, the whole standards of how they describe somebody as a close contact, it was just ridiculous. And it all matched in with them opening back up, and it doesn't work. Like you said yourself, kids going into school, they're not supposed to be near each other in school, but yet one of them can be called a close contact, and then somebody else that sits on the other side of that table isn't. We're also hearing more and more lately about people who have been confirmed and then they have somebody else sitting behind them on the bus, or two or three of them sitting on the bus beside that person, and then they're not deemed as close contact.
And that
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I still can't get to the bottom of that one. And with that in mind, Gerard, and I am very grateful to you for your time this morning, and I do appreciate
I'm delighted you contacted us.
I'm conscious of the fact that there's time constraints on you. With that in mind, in relation to the redefinition of what a close contact is, let us call it that to be politically correct, have you had any contact or any engagement with the Department of Education, the Department of Health, or NPHET?
No, none at all. Only journalists. We know we've been highlighted. We even know that the HSE would know about us. Of course they would, because there's that many followers, there's that much publication. They would definitely know about the case. They've talked about it before. I can't remember her name when it was messing around board. They were talking on the Virgin Media, and the girl who was talking had said that there's publications on Facebook and you shouldn't be following this, that it's all hearsay information. But at the time when they actually released that information, that was the only time that we knew that they knew about it. We expected at some point that somebody would contact us somewhere along the line. We had loads of journalists and all that had got onto us before, but we expected that when they had seen this, that somebody might have contacted, but they never did.
And did you make contact with them?
We have, yeah. We've tried. We've emailed everybody. Norma Foley would be the one that I would email on a regular basis. I've never had a returned email. We've tried loads of times. The main one that has actually highlighted us, even on television, was Fergal Bowers. Fergal Bowers from RTE. He spoke of the group and actually brought it up in a briefing that there was a page on Facebook that was giving out numbers and that their numbers do not match what the HSE has said. And it was never mentioned again. I think that was his way of trying to highlight the group to see if they could see the difference between their case numbers and our case numbers. And at the time, that was the middle of October. Our case numbers were a hell of a lot bigger than what the HSE or NPHET had actually said.
And can you tell me, Gerard, as we speak at the moment, what your assertion is in relation to case numbers?
Case numbers, what we have for schools are probably about 1,700 or 1,800. Now, that's cases that are confirmed by us that we actually have HSE letters for. And then you have the numbers that are within the school. So when we're actually talking to parents, we'll only count what's actually given to us. As we said, there's other cases that we can't actually verify, so we can't add them on. And there's not a hope that we are getting every single school case in the country. We know for a fact that we're missing a lot. Therefore, with our numbers compared to theirs still being higher, and we're definitely not getting every case in the country, how many more cases are actually there?
And with that in mind, Gerard, and before I let you go and thank you for your time again, how do people get on this Facebook page? How do they join up?
You can join by going onto Facebook, and you just search the name in Facebook, and then they send a request then to join the page. A lot of people are invited to the page by people who are actually on the page. We know that because there's a moderator who looks after the friend request. So when they go onto the page, then they can actually find it, and then the moderators will accept them. The only thing that we try to ask people is not to share the information onto their own Facebook page. You can invite people to the page if you feel it. The reason why we don't want to do that is because we don't want the information to be abused or to be manipulated or changed, because we're holding their names to what people have given to us in trust. So we try our best to make sure that we're able to keep that secure as well.
And the group, the Facebook group, is called Alerting Parents.
Alerting Parents of Outbreaks in Schools.
And at the moment, we're heading for 120,000 members. So hopefully we will get more people to join up, and maybe we will get a better picture of the situation as it pertains to schools. Gerard Mooney, Gerard, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really do appreciate
the time, and I appreciate the fact that
you're under time constraints and pressure, so I do appreciate you talking to me. Gerard, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it as well. Thanks very much. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye-bye.